So I want to thank everyone for coming to this breakout session. And it's just a pleasure to be here. I've never been to, you guys call this one, this branch T4C, right? Is that right? Twin Cities Chinese Christian Church. Ministry at the U of M has a student group called International Student Outreach. And we actually do a lot of ministry with Chinese and a lot of ministry with Chinese from Malaysia. Chinese-born Malaysian or Malaysian-born Chinese. And we've actually shared ministry with a lot of students, college students, with T4C. So a lot of the students that we've ministered to have then gone on and attended here. A lot of students that have attended here have also visited us. We've baptized some folks that now attend here and stuff. And so it's just a pleasure to finally be here. I think it's a divine appointment to be here, to see your faces and to enjoy your company and do this session. So I'm going to talk about four things to watch out for when attending college for Christian students. And, you know, there's a lot of things that Christian students need to be equipped with in order to be successful in their faith through college. And we're not going to be able to cover them all, obviously. So I'm not going to get into probably won't get into the more complexities of like having a Christian worldview in the areas of, you know, psychology and philosophy and law and politics, which is very important to have a Christian worldview in all these areas, a biblical Christian worldview, very important, in a sense, as important as it is to have the basics of the faith covered. But as I was praying about coming, Jeff invited me to come, I really sensed the Holy Spirit saying that we really, if you miss the basics, it doesn't matter what you know intellectually, you know, how much you have a Christian intellectual point of view, because you got to start with the foundations before you can move on. So we could go into a lot of detail on each one of these points. I could mention a lot of scriptures, but I think I'm going to skip a lot of the scriptures and maybe go into them if you guys would like to later. But what I think we should probably do is just cover the four points, and then before I give examples of those points, because like, you know, classroom examples, for example, or examples on campus, like stories, maybe we'll find out if there's any questions, and then that'll lead us to particular stories that would be more of interest to somebody in the audience, somebody in the congregation. So again, my name is Parnell Mahoney. I'm a campus minister at the University of Minnesota. I've been in ministry for 6 years full-time. And I got saved in 1997 out at the U of M, graduated in 2000 with a Bachelor of Science. And like I said, encountered a lot of spiritual battle of ideas out there with my peers, with the professors. The first thing that I think is important to watch out for a Christian student when attending college is downplaying the spiritual battle and failing to prepare for the spiritual battle. So a lot of times maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe you do. Has anyone seen God's Not Dead? Okay, I encourage you guys to go see that. Go to the movies and go watch it. It's a really good Christian movie. And it specifically relates to this breakout session. Okay, some of the things that we're going to talk about has to do with the intimidation of professors, the viewpoint and the way of thinking on campus, and how that's going to be intimidating to Christian students, either subtly or overtly intimidating. So in God's Not Dead, it's, you know, from my experience, there's like 8 storylines in that movie, and I think it's all of them are very believable from my experience. You can go watch that movie and maybe see something that you might expect on a secular campus. But what happens in that movie, I'll just give away a little bit. So in the beginning of the movie, a Christian student's going to just a secular college. He comes into his philosophy class, And he has an atheistic professor. And what the professor does is he says, one of the aspects of philosophy is dealing with theology, the study of God. And he says, those are old, dusty ideas that we've already disproven. And he says, so we can dispense with that whole subject if you students will write three words on a piece of paper and hand it in. Those three words are, God is dead. If all the students will just cooperate and write, God is dead on your piece of paper, pass it along, I'll collect them all, then we can dispense with this part and move on to things that are more applicable to reality and in life. And so all the students write, God is dead, pass it in. One student has conviction as a Christian and can't do it. So this is an example. You may not ever get that particularly extreme example in school, but they do exist, and you may. But that college student was prepared spiritually to stand for his faith and say, I can't write this on a piece of paper. And so the professor made an example of him in the movie and said, you know, you're going to have to defend that God is not dead in front of class the next three lectures. Are you really sure you want to do that? You know, and he's like, all the students are looking at him. He's getting intimidated, thinking, oh my goodness, you know. And but he can't say God is dead, so he accepts. And the professor doesn't like that he accepted, tries to intimidate him anyway. And the professor assigns extra homework to the students because he accepted. So now the students have to go read an extra philosophy book on this topic to prepare for his lectures of this student. And the students are all grumbling at him, looking at him like, why can't you just go along with the crowd, you know? And it's a real life example of a climate that you would encounter in a classroom on a secular university and even a Christian university. Like Alex said, there's plenty of them that are Christian only in name. So how do you prepare spiritually? Well, you need to go to Jesus to get life, so you can then give life to others. This is just basic Christianity, right? You have a relationship with Jesus. You worship him. You pray to him. You read your Bible. And you pray for him to help you be committed to him and faithful in all of your life, in your classrooms, with your peers, your fellow students, right? And so you go to get life from Jesus. That's one of the ways that you prepare. It's pretty basic. But a lot of us fail to do it, right? And then when we get into the situation where our faith is tested, we will crumble and we will be silent. We will be ashamed. We will not defend the faith because we don't want to look like a fool. We don't have the courage. It takes courage, and you don't have to be good at it. I wasn't good at it. I made a lot of mistakes. But I know that it was important to not deny Christ. You know what I mean? And that is out there, and you will be tempted to deny Christ, whether it's overt or subtle. So, will you be ready to be a fool? A fool for Christ? Are we surrendered to Jesus as Lord of our life, to the Spirit of God to lead us in his will daily? Then, when challenging situations arise, we'll have grace to respond in a way that honors God and makes him known to people around us. Can you stand up for the truth and do so in love? Well, the answer is yes, you can. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you can't speak boldly. It doesn't matter if your palms are sweaty, if you stutter, if you're going to look like a fool. You can. It's just that you need to love Jesus more than you fear man, right? More than you care about what people think. You're not a man pleaser. You're a disciple of Jesus Christ. I have an example to give on that, but we can move on. If you want an example, we can come back to that. I guess one concluding point would be, we'll just move on. Okay. Point number two, things to watch out for. Downplaying the importance and failing to plug in weekly with other dedicated Christians on campus. So I'll just restate that. Things to watch out for, you watch out for downplaying the importance of meeting with other Christians on campus. Don't do that. Don't downplay it. Watch out for the temptation to downplay it. To say, oh, it's more important to focus on other things in your college education than it is to continue to meet with Christians on campus and to be part of an active Christian ministry with On Fire Christians. That would be a fatal mistake. On campus, we need church-related activities that build up the body, of Christ, Bible study groups, worship and fellowship, and outreach activities that challenge us to shine our light. In other words, evangelistic efforts. That's what you're going to get by plugging in. You need to add that to what you're doing. Sometimes you have to miss, I understand, but you need to make it a priority in your pattern of your daily, your weekly routine. Okay, point number three, failing to consider carefully who your close friends are. A lot of these points apply now, right? For the students in the audience that are high school or whatever, they apply now, right? But it applies as you go to college even more because you're outside of the supervision of your parents who can say, I don't think that friend is such a good friend for you to hang out with, you know? And no one's keeping track of when you come home late at night so you can stay out and get into more questionable situations. Hanging out and getting your way of thinking from non-Christians or non-mature Christians is what I'm talking about. You need to consider who your friends are. You need to be careful how you esteem your friends' values when they're non-Christian. Are you taking on their values or their non-Christian values, your values, because they're your close friends and you care a lot about what they think? Letting their opinions influence your opinions. Okay, point number four, not correctly evaluating those around you, your professors, classmates, roommates, coworkers, and friends. It would be a mistake to not correctly evaluate or appraise. Everyone who owns a home understands what an appraisal is, right? To get a valuation of the people around you. Are they Christian? What is their way of thinking? Is their way of thinking Christian? Is it biblical? We need to recognize, let's see here. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, Now the Holy Spirit explicitly or clearly tells us that in the last times or the last days, some will turn away from the faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. Now, is this, you know, just superstition and, you know, or is this, how does this apply to college? Are there teachings, are there ideologies on campus that are doctrines of demons that are rooted in the demonic world to undermine the gospel of Jesus Christ and the faith of the students? Absolutely. I will say absolutely. The universities are filled, whether Christian or non-Christian, they're filled with the doctrines of demons, with the teachings that deceive students into accepting a way of thinking and a way of believing that is completely unbiblical and undermines their faith to the point where they, like we have the statistics, 75% leave school without no longer being Christian. The reality is when I meet a lot of kids coming in as freshmen, they're already in that condition. So maybe some of the students in this room, you're already struggling, probably already struggling with this battle. Maybe you've already begun to give in to a way of thinking that is to doubt the gospel, to doubt the Bible. And that is the strategy of the enemy. You know, that's a reality that we're fighting in a spiritual war. So you need to understand that. You need to recognize that Satan has an agenda. The world is not following God's truth, but opposing it. It's overt or it's subtle. But the philosophy behind the teachings and underneath the teachings, the ways of thinking and reasoning, the worldviews are, most of them are going to be based upon a humanistic worldview. Coming up with man decides what's right and wrong. You know, man is basically good. You know what I mean? Man doesn't really have sin. There's no heaven and hell. Things like this. So how are you going to correctly evaluate? Well, through knowing and practicing God's word above all else. So applying the Bible to the way you act, the way you talk, the decisions that you make. 2 Thessalonians 2:3-10 says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day of the Lord, I'll put of the Lord in parentheses because that's not in there, that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. So there's a great falling away. In the Western world, we're already there. the great falling away. That's what happens on campus, the great falling away. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. In another translation, it says, because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. So there's a deception that leads to a great falling away. What is this deception? Satan deceives those who refuse to love the truth. The truth is the Bible, the gospel. So how do we properly evaluate the world we're in and the professors and their way of thinking and our friends? We do it by loving the truth. Through living and practicing God's word applied to every aspect of our lives, through relationship with Jesus and love of his word, we think and live. Okay, so those are the 4 points. And now we've taken some time already. We have about 12 minutes left. So now we can talk about the more interesting stuff, like examples of maybe something. You might have a question on one of the points, like what's a good example of that? If you do, go ahead and raise your hand. All right. Oh, you had a question? Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah. I work with students from mainland China mostly, and they've been inculcated from as soon as they can understand that they got to pass the test to go into college and they have to succeed and all the academics. And so even after they become Christians and have been discipled and stuff, they're still getting these messages from home that their career and their education is like the highest priority for them. And so the gospel comes in, and we honestly, we see some make some kind of foolish decisions, and I'm sure you've seen it too. So on campus, you have these academic goals, and then, you know, you're leading guys, students to Christ. The gospel trumps all of that, in my opinion.
God's opinion too, right?
Right. But how do you wrestle with that? I mean, it's not like academics are an enemy of the gospel. I mean, one thing I've had to learn is that, yeah, God wants us to be all we can be academically too.
Right.
So, I mean, you're dealing with students and for people that are considering college, how do they evaluate?
I would say this, you had something more?
Yeah, I guess.
I would say that Christian students have to work twice as hard. So, you know, I mean, even better for Christian parents that want their kids to be successful, right? You have to work twice as hard. In a sense, you have to work three times as hard. maybe twice. Okay, so you need to obviously, the only way you're going to, the gospel teaches that we need to not be, that you're worse than an infidel if you don't take care of your children, right? So you need to be, the healthy, godly motivation of wanting to be successful and make a lot of money is because we understand as human beings that it's godly to take care of your family, right? And so the parents want the best for their children and future generations, and we understand that. But at the same time, they have to work twice as hard. So they also have to learn how to submit everything to the lordship of Jesus Christ as a disciple, and realize that as sinful people or people with sin in us, we have to be on guard against the love of money. We have to be on guard against idolatry, the idolatry of what you're talking about. You're talking about idolatry. That's what you're concerned about, idolatry. If anything that elevates above Christ is idolatry, right? So if the gospel is under a job and a future, it's idolatry. So we have to acknowledge that we are prone to idols. And so we have to fear God and say, God, how do I repent of that idol. Show me what to do, you know? Show me how to be a faithful, excellent, influential believer, a leader. And that means to be hardworking and successful. And like Alex said, if you're a servant, you're going to make money. And also to submit that to the lordship of Christ. You know, I'm just restating the dilemma, I guess. I don't know the answer, but it's having a close relationship with Christ and staying in the word and working twice as hard. You got to You got to get up and seek the Lord. You know, a lot of the preachers of old, I mean, there's been preachers everywhere all the time, but a lot of people in America that have led revivals, the Great Awakening, these preachers, very influential people that led thousands to Christ, open air meetings and stuff. You know, they said, I don't know how I'm going to get everything done today. I have so much to do, all these meetings and this and that, and I have to get up 4 hours early to pray twice as long. That doesn't seem to make sense in our way of thinking, you know, that we have to lose sleep and pray twice as long. I got twice as much stuff to do. I need to pray twice as long. I'm not trying to put a yoke of, you know, work on our shoulders and say, you know, that serving God is just so a yoke of heaviness. But in seeking God, we need to take God that seriously. You know what I mean? And work hard to serve God and to be successful. Does that answer your question? Hopefully. Jeff.
I think too, based on what you guys are talking about, that I think you have to tell your youth now and teach them now that in everything, Christ must have a preeminence. Because like Parnell said, anything underneath, if everything's above the gospel, it's an idol. So they need to understand that all they have is Christ. They have all they need.
Yeah, and actually, you come on, brother, preach it back there. I'll say this too: is that success comes from the Lord. Success doesn't come by how hard you work alone. Success comes from the Lord. So God promotes and God puts down. You know, He raises up nations, and a nation is not successful based on how hard it works. It's successful whether God wants to raise it up. You know, I don't know. I think that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of you know, the Bible says that that God gives the knowledge of witty inventions, I think in the King James, right? That our ability to create and to be successful comes from the gift of God. And so putting God first makes sense, that the most successful people are those going to fear God and put Him first. And the kingdom way of things is that it doesn't always make practical sense right now to your brain, right? So sometimes you have to sacrifice even more prestige and more success for obedience to Christ. Or you always have to do that. But when God wants you to obey Him and put Him first, and that means that you're going to work a little bit less hard, you know, put in a little bit less hours in academics, and make God a priority, that it doesn't seem to make practical sense immediately, but God's going to bless it. You're going to be successful, you know. But, I mean, we may be called to die. You know, the future of Christians, at least you look at Christianity around the world and the Christianity in the past, and anyone, you know, if you understand China, you know, a lot of Christians been dying. Less these days, I think. But they've been dying for their faith, because they love Christ and they refuse to say, you know, they refuse to deny Christ under torture and imprisonment. And that's the history, you know, at least the Roman Christians in the first couple, 3 centuries, horrendous, millions and millions of people burned and fed to animals and tortured in the horrendous ways. And they refused to say Caesar is Lord. And they said, no, Jesus is Lord, you know? And so, you know, academics has to come under that. You know, you're called to lose your life, like Alex said, right? To lose your life so that you may find life, which is, the context is total obedience to the Lordship of Jesus Christ over every area. You need to be a spiritual person, right? You got to be in relationship with God so that you can hear His voice. How do you get saved? How do you become a Christian? You have to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't, may not sound audible, but in your heart, there's the call, and there's an awakening, and you all of a sudden you recognize that God is real, and all of a sudden, and you believe, and He comes in and begins to reveal Himself to you, and it's through that relationship that everything changes. That's being born again, right? And that, you know, the Spirit is very real. He created this world, this tangible world. God created this tangible world, so He's very practical, very logical, and so. believe it or not, depending on how much we seek him, we can have revelation in answers of whether to do more studying or whether to go to the Christian meeting. You know what I mean? And he may say, do more studying. It's not always go to the Christian meeting, right? You need to have we all need to have a personal relationship with Christ, and we need to develop that. And that's kind of the idea of preparing spiritually and knowing there's a battle when you go to school. All these things are the battles we face. Any other questions? If you think of one, raise your hand. Maybe I'll give you an example of a few things here, a story. I think that one of the things about that we're called to be is are we ministers to others? When you go to, as Christians, we're called to be ministers to others, right? So your primary purpose is to, like Alex said, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is A and B of our of what's the priorities in our life as believers. C would be academics and career and pursuit in life, you know, if you want to put it next. But it wouldn't be A or B. And so we need to have a mentality that we're here to minister Christ to those around us. It's called like an others focus rather than a self focus. We want to have an others focus. You think about the fact that God's covenant with Abraham was through your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. That was God's covenant to Abraham. Through your future seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So who is that seed? That seed's Christ, and that seed is in us. And so we are a blessing to all the people around us, and we're going to school to be a blessing. We live in our neighborhoods to be a blessing. We go to work to be a blessing, to shine the light of Christ for eternal significance, right? That's more important than getting an A. If they're in contest, you need to love God and love your neighbor more than getting an A, you know? So you need to make a priority of this, serving God and making him the priority in your life. My wife, Becky, had an example where she was, I'll just close with this story. She was at work one day. She worked in food service, and after the shift in the dining hall, the workers gathered to eat their meal, and she was a student worker, and she gathered too, and they were talking about what classes to take, and someone said to my wife, well, why don't you just take human evolution? It's easy, you know? And my wife said, well, to be honest, I don't want to take human evolution because I know that it would be like a battle every day, and I'd be, you know, having to debate with the professor, and because I don't believe that I evolved, you know, and there was one student there, this girl lost her mind. She got so mad at my wife. She couldn't believe, she was so offended that my wife would believe that we didn't evolve. You know, and she just was berating my wife. I wasn't there. This is just a story my wife told me. She was berating my wife and attacking her. I mean, like, oh, all the foolish, backward things. I can't believe you. Are you serious? You know? And my wife, and, you know, if you're part of an active campus ministry that knows that it trains us, you know, like you do at church here, you're trained to serve God, right? And train that you're going to have conflict, and train that you see other people and I learn how to respond. You know, it's okay that happens. There's a way to respond to that in love and have a good argument, you know. And my wife stood her ground and defended her position about why she didn't believe in evolution, why she believed in special creation and in God. And in the face of this like withering assault of, you know, mocking, you know what I mean? And my wife was like, shook it off, like, you know, no. And she loved the person that was attacking her because she had the grace of God to do so because she was prepared spiritually. She has a relationship with Christ. She's developing that. As a result, at the end of it, all the students filtered out and her boss filtered out. And there was one student that stayed to talk to her. And he said, you know, I was a Christian in high school. I grew up in a Christian home. And he's like, I could never have done what you did. He's like, I could never have stood for my faith. I used to believe these things, but now I've basically left these things of the faith. And I could have done what you did at one point in time, but now I can't, you know. And he was crying because the Holy Spirit did something. And with him witnessing this, it did something in his heart. And he realized, something's not right in my heart. I'm broken. I'm lost, you know. He saw Christ. He saw the Spirit. He saw the kingdom of God and the way my wife responded. And he was like, something, you know, I'm messed up. Can I come back to the faith, you know? And my wife just said, you need to go read the book of Romans. You know, tonight you need to, don't even do your homework. Go back tonight. This is spiritually essential for you. Go back tonight and go to the book of Romans and just pay attention and let God minister to you and restore your understanding of the world and yourself and Christ's redemption of you through faith. And then they concluded, the guy left and she left. I mean, how do you know? Most people are not going to go do that. You know what I mean? But it doesn't mean you don't tell them what you think they should do when this Lord reveals it to you. And later on at work, this kid came back to her, totally changed countenance, face changed, full of life, said, I went and did what you said, you know? And I am serving God again and I have God in my life and I feel so good, you know? And I can't remember it. I mean, it wasn't my story. That's basically the gist of it. But my wife was there to serve that student, you know, to glorify God by saying, if I stand up for the faith, it has an effect on the world around me and it can affect the decision of the people around me, whether they believe or not, other believers, non-believers. One last story was, you know, it's 12:17, but just real quick, you got 2 minutes, Jeff. All right. One last story is my wife grew up in a Christian home. She went to public school, she encountered a lot of rejection, probably not so much because of her faith, but from cool people, you know what I mean? And she had a chip on her shoulder when it came to, like, beautiful girls. You know, now my wife's a beautiful girl, but more beautiful girls, popular girls, you know, and because my wife was a good Christian girl, so she got a lot of rejection. And so she came into class and the Lord had been ministering to her heart and showing her through some teachings that she'd been through, Bible studies and stuff, on the subject of forgiveness and on the subject of rejection and how to respond to rejection. And she had been healed and was walking it through, learning to love people and not just carry this chip on her shoulder. She walks into class. And as Christians, this, you know, it's not just academics, like I said. Obviously, we're here to win our neighbor to Christ, you know. And she comes into class, and she's like, okay, Lord, you know, where do you want me to sit, you know? And she comes in, she sees this really beautiful girl who's obviously popular, just the way she dressed, carries herself, whatever. And my wife's like, there's no way I'm sitting next to that girl, you know. You know, just like bristles, you know, in her heart from thinking of sitting next to someone who's just going to reject her when they find out that she's a good Christian girl. And which isn't kind of a stereotype, right? It's not like every situation is like that. But the Holy Spirit was like, no, I've healed you, and why don't you just go sit down next to that girl? I want to minister to her. She felt the Holy Spirit. She's like, okay, I'm gonna obey God. I'm just gonna go sit next to this student. And the girl they formed a relationship, and the girl was really thankful that someone sat next to her. You know, just because people are pretty, people are popular, doesn't mean they're have it all together. Most likely they don't, actually. And come to find out, this girl is a very broken individual and needed a lot of love and a lot of truth. They did Bible studies together. This girl really grew in her faith and her devotion to God as a result of my wife's friendship. And, you know, it's just an example. God has adventures for us going to school to minister Christ to the people around us. And that's probably a lot more eternally significant than whether you achieve at the highest academic level, you know, I guess that's an understatement. Obviously, eternal reaching people and determining letting God use you to help people's eternity change to one of having life with God forever rather than being separated from Him in darkness forever is far more important than, you know, money. And you know, a lot of, God may call us to sell everything and move to some third world country where we will have nothing and we'll just have to be missionaries that give our blood as seed for the gospel, you know. And that may be the future of our brightest students. It may be the call of God to go do that instead of making lots of money and stuff. So thanks for your time. It's a pleasure to be here. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Cornell. I think a verse that comes to my mind is 1 Corinthians 15. At the end of that passage, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. And it says the key to how to do that is the verse before it, but it says, but thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you go to college, you're only going to get an education so that you can have a career, so that you can support your family, I'll tell you right now, you are missing out on the most amazing blessings that God can give you. So make Christ your priority, and you know what? You'll get the education, you'll pass the grades, and I tell our young people and our youth this, people are looking in the business world or the medical world for people who have character. And the Christian life is all about character, the character of Christ. And the world actually desires those things. So we'll put that first. I promise you, upon the authority of God's word, you will be the elite. You will be the people that people are looking for in those certain fields you go into. So hope you paid attention. Hope it was a blessing to you. I'm going to go ahead and have a word of prayer right now for the end of the session. And then thank the Lord for our food. And then the food is upstairs. So when we're done, you are dismissed to go get some Chick-fil-A sandwich.